Paraguay is a South American country located between Argentina, Brazil, and Bolivia. Its capital, Asunción, sits on the banks of the Paraguay River and is home to the Grand Government Palace, as well as the Museo del Barro, which includes three separate divisions, a pottery museum, an indigenous art museum, and a contemporary art collection. Among its diverse assortment of artifacts on display are pre-Columbian ceramics, masks, and costumes, which speak to its rich history of myth, legends, and folklore. The primary indigenous people of the region are the Tupi and Guarani tribes, who still speak the pre-colonial Guarani language, which is what distinguishes them from the related Tupi. Early Guarani villages often consisted of communal houses for 10 to 15 families, and it is estimated that they collectively numbered at around 400,000 when they were first encountered by Europeans. Of course, the tribes were promptly converted to Christianity starting in the 1500s, but many of their oral myths survived and were passed down in the Guarani language, which is still taught today in schools, as is their creation mythology. Tupa, the supreme god, whose residence is the sun, and Arisi, the mother of the sky, who lives on the moon, met through a constellation of stars after years of looking for each other and finally got married. The morning after their wedding, they descended onto earth on a hill and began creating the oceans, rivers, forests, and stars, and all living things. To create the first human beings, Tupa made statues from a paste using a mixture of clay, blood from the short-tailed nighthawk, and leaves of different types of plants, and a centipede. He left the statues to dry in the sun, and then filled them with life, calling the woman Sipavi and the man Rupavi, meaning mother and father of the people. Tupa and Arasi then gave the humans instructions to live peacefully, to procreate, and to live in love. To guide the people down the path of good, Tupa created the spirit of good, Anga Tupari, and Tao to lead them down the path of evil. With this done, Tupa and Arasi ascended back up into the heavens. The first man and woman, Rupavi and Sipavi, had three sons and an unknown number of daughters. The second son was called Marongatu, a generous and benevolent leader of his people, and father of Karena. She was captured and raped by the spirit of evil, Tao, and gave birth to seven children, becoming the mother of the seven legendary monsters of the Guarani myth. I will be covering two of the seven offspring in some detail, Jassi Jateri and Kurupi, which I felt are the most interesting and seem to be the most prominent to the Guarani. The Guarani practiced a form of animistic pantheism, much of which has survived in the form of folklore and numerous myths which are passed down orally by word of mouth, but were compiled and published by a university in Argentina in 1870. The most prominent legend was to do with Pampero, which are goblin or elf-like entities that allegedly dwell in the forests. Principal among these is Jassi Jateri, whose name literally means piece of the moon, and is described as having light blonde hair and bright blue eyes. Keep in mind, this fair phenotype stems from before any contact with Europeans. He is sometimes described as a small man or a child, and in one legend, as a handsome, thickly bearded, blonde dwarf, who is naked and lives in tree trunks. He's said to be beautiful and enchanting, and carries a large magical staff that resembles a serpent and is imbued with magical powers. He's the protector of the yerba mate plant, which is rich in caffeine and used to make a popular tea in Paraguay. He loves honey, and most legends agree that he snatches children that are not napping during siesta and puts them in a trance and proceeds to lick them. It is said that he wanders around the village and whistles for the children. This hypnotic whistle is very distinct and mimics birds. Everyone in Paraguay knows what to listen for. Some of the nicer stories tell that Jassy Jeteri takes the children back to the forest with them to play and then kisses them to transport them back to their beds with no memory of the event. There are other versions of the story, however, used by parents to keep their children from wandering off, where they say that he eats the children. To appease him, gifts such as honey are left in places in the forest. He's also considered the protector of hidden treasure. If one can take his magical staff from him, he will break down and cry like a child. Then you can order him to take you to this hidden treasure, much like a leprechaun. Kurupi, on the other hand, is short, hairy, ugly, and the god of sexuality and fertility. He has such an enormous male member that he has to wind it around his body 7 times to wear as a belt. His male member is so large, he can extend it through windows and doors to impregnate sleeping women, which is still used as a scapegoat to blame him for unwanted and unexpected pregnancies for adulterous and pregnant single women. Sexual beliefs and practices among the native Guarani were largely denounced by the Catholic settlers, such as Antonio Ruiz de Montoya, one of the foremost Jesuit missionaries in 17th century Paraguay. Montoya's writings reveal details about how the Guarani had difficulty understanding the value of monogamy and Jesuit celibacy. The Guarani could not understand why the Jesuits sought to take away their, quote, good customs and the way our ancestors lived, by requiring them to be married to only one woman. The Jesuits attempted to shift the sin of adultery and polygamy away from the Guarani men onto the Guarani women in their process of converting the tribes. They did so because the Guarani men, as influential patriarchs within the missions, would revolt against the Jesuits and flee in response to Jesuit indoctrination that denounced their practice of polygamy and spiritual sexuality. The Guarani term for priest, abare, meant a man without sex, referring to their celibacy. The Guarani marveled at this behavior and did not find it admirable, since among them it was a matter of honor and prestige to have numerous wives and serving women sexually. The Jesuits were undoubtedly uncomfortable with Guarani sexuality, as well as their cannibalistic tendencies during rituals. Montoya also viewed the use of yerba mate, which mimicked amphetamine, as demonic. He claimed that he had looked carefully into the origins of its use and learned that this herb's infusion was not consumed except by a, quote, great witch man or sorcerer who had communicated with the devil, who showed it to him, saying that whenever the sorcerer wished to consult him, he should drink from that herb, end quote. Montoya also recognized some of the benefits of yerba mate, how when it was used, the Indians could row a raft all day without any sustenance, and it made their senses alert. The Guarani also smoked tobacco during ritual, as well as consumed ayahuasca, a hallucinogenic brew which the shamans claimed helped them to attain altered perceptions of reality, heightened states of consciousness, and facilitated communication with higher intelligences, possibly from other dimensions. When considering the pre-Columbian indigenous tribal myths of the New World, one can't help but notice the recurring theme of ancient blue-eyed deities, such as the Aztec Quetzalcoatl, who was depicted in this textbook published by Mexico's Secretary of Education as having blonde hair and bearded, or the numerous blue-eyed artifacts from Peru of their deities, not to mention their ancient blonde and red-haired mummies, which speak to either ancient transatlantic contact from seafaring civilizations, such as the Phoenicians, or possibly even more fanciful theories of an older civilization, such as the fabled Atlantis, peopling continents on both sides of the Atlantic. In any event, the global distribution of ancient symbols such as the swastika, as well as recurring themes in folklore and mythology, such as the number 7, which is not only prominent in the Guarani myth, but also as planetary gods in Greek mythology, the Sumerian pantheon, and even encoded into the Bible. Esoteric and alchemical interpretations of sacred geometry regard the number 3 as masculine and represented by a triangle, the number 4 as feminine and represented by a square, and combined as the number 7, represented by the perfect circle, symbolic of infinity, wholeness, unity of polarity, and creation. Religion and astrotheology equates the 7 gods, or days of creation, or even the G, the 7th letter in the alphabet alluded to in Freemasonry, to the 7 chakras, or energetic centers in the body, which are activated through sacred tantric practices, still performed in places like India and Tibet, but disguised by symbolism and lost to superstition in Europe. Except for mystical orders and secret societies, such as the Essenes, Cathars, Knights Templar, Rosicrucians, and other esoteric Kabbalists that retain an understanding of internal alchemy, where tantric practices of semen retention combined with energetic transmutation of chi, prana, or vril are guarded secrets that were kept alive from a time when such heresy meant certain death. This seems to be the forgotten bridge between the Jesuit practice of obsessive celibacy and the tribal overindulgence of carnal activity, where both extremes lack the ancient divine principles of sacred sexuality. For more on this subject, check out my other videos in the description regarding vril and internal alchemy. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.